Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We are located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're so glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is truly a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238. Or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Associate Pastor Antoine Jackson shares the message titled, Grateful in the Middle.
For me, just indulge me for a second. I want you to grab that neighbor by the hand, squeeze those hands, and say, neighbor, we survived another week. Now look at your other neighbor. Said, neighbor, I'm so grateful God pulled me through. He pulled you through. Come on, that's worship of God. He pulled you through. You survived another week. You survived another opportunity to worship God and then worship Him in spirit and truth. Come on, don't fool me now. I just need some undignified worshipers to act like God pulled you out of that pit, like God pulled you out of that prison, God pulled you out of that circumstance, God pulled you from your own ways that you caused. Come on, that's this worship. Come on, we can take a few more minutes. Come on, praise team. As the praise team sing, I just need some worshipers to set the atmosphere.
Said he won't leave.
So glad we serve a God that promised us to never walk out on us. Promise us, said, don't matter, Antoine, don't matter how much weed you smoke, don't matter how many women you indulged in, no matter how much drugs you sold, I never walked out on you. I never left you. I never forsake you. You may have forsaken me, but I never walked out on you. And I'm so grateful he pulled me through. I'm so thankful that he gave me another opportunity just to give him glory and to give him honor. Let us pray, dear Heavenly Father. All eyes are closed, all heads are bowed. Before we ask for anything moving forward, we just want to say thank you for everything. For this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Now, dear Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne of grace, we come to you humbly. We come to you in surrenderance. We come to you in acknowledgement that we cannot do it by ourselves. Decrease us. Increase your Holy Spirit. Move us out the way. Move your Holy Spirit in the way. Have your way in this service. Have your way in our lives. Have your way in this opportunity we get to praise your name. Do it, Lord. Whatever it is that your people need in this moment, we ask that you make it happen. We ask that you just heal their body. We ask that you regulate their mind. We ask that you fix their heart. We ask that every situation that is going on at home, by the time they get back, we consider it already done. In Jesus' name. Now let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our redeemer. And all God's people say amen and give God your best praise. Come on, we can give God our best praise. For he is worthy. He pulled us through. He pulled us through. Amen, amen, amen. But there is a word from the Lord today. Turn with me to the Psalm 23. Psalm 23, reading from the New King James Version, verse 4. One verse. This particular verse has been preached over and over. You have heard many preachers, from local preachers to national preachers, people like Bishop T.D. Jakes, our very own senior pastor Darrell Jackson has preached from this text. And God arrested me in this one verse in the midst, Auntie Pastor, of all the things we've been experiencing with our family. And when Pastor asked me to speak, God arrested me on this one verse because he wanted me to be encouraged. And he said, Twine, if I can encourage you, you can encourage them. And so he arrested me at this one verse right here. We know this particular verse, most theologians and most biblical scholars attest this verse to David. We know this is David, and he wrote this particular psalm at a latter age. He was much older. He had experience becoming the anointed king. He has experienced defeating Goliath. He had experience being on the run from Saul. He had experienced his Bathsheba moment, as many theologians call it. He had experienced all these things. He had experienced the Ark of the Covenant coming back, when he danced undignified, all these things David experienced, and he wrote this very powerful psalm, Psalm 23, where they have brands all across the world that have plastered a Psalm 23. If you don't even have to go to church, but most people know Psalm 23. Amen. Amen. But he took me to this one verse. So for your reading and your hearing, I want to read this one verse, and then we're going to give the subject. David writes, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." This is where the subject is lifted from, this next clause. "For you," he's referring to God, "for you are with me." Thank you, Holy Ghost. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." May the Lord have a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his whole word. Grab your neighbor by the hand one more time for me. And we're going to speak this subject into the atmosphere. Again, we are talking about grateful all year. Our theme is grateful here at the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road. Those who do not know, our senior pastor gave us a theme at the top of the year. He challenged us to be grateful in all things. All right. I'm going to talk about this one particular thing in this text. If you go to the text, you see that David says, as he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he would fear no evil. But I want to lift up the subject from this clause, this clause that says, "For you are with me." For God is with me. This is the subject right here. This is it's coming right here. Squeeze those neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, grateful in the middle. How many people are grateful in the middle? I don't know what your middle is. Your middle may be not my middle. Your middle may not be your neighbor middle. But whatever your middle is, I want you to be grateful in the middle, because God is with you. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. How many grateful people I have in the house? Come on, don't fool me now. I got a grateful church that know that God has been good to us all the time. God is good. And God is good. Amen. Amen. It is often said that one of the greatest challenges we face isn't starting the journey, but rather surviving in the middle. Who am I preaching to? It is said that one of the greatest challenges we face, particularly we as believers, isn't starting the journey, but rather surviving it in the middle. The beginning can be very exciting. It can be very disappointing. The ending, after we endured all we can be rewarding. It also can be disappointing. But the middle, look at your neighbor, say the middle, the middle. But the middle can be exhausting. Do I have some real people in here? You didn't come to church to look good. You didn't come to church for people to stare at you. You came to church to hear a word from God. How many people know that the middle can be exhausting? The middle, Bible way, is where the prayer has been prayed, but the answer has yet to come. Oh, I know I got some prayer warriors. I got a praying grandma. I know she prayed for all her grandkids, and I know many of nights, grandma, you probably like, God, is it gonna happen? But I'm here to tell you, it has yet to come. Amen. The diagnosis has been given, but the healing hasn't manifested itself yet. Look at your neighbor, say, yet. The children are grown, but they are still trying to find their way. The marriage survived the storm, but it's still rebuilding. Say the middle, the middle, the middle, the middle. The business is open, but the profit hasn't yet matched the vision. Retirement is near, but the security still feels uncertain. You ever feel like that? Is that you? I know I tried to cover all bases. That's the middle. My brothers and sisters, think about this. The middle is not dramatic enough to quit, but it is heavy enough to wear us down. It's not dramatic enough. It's not to the point that we say, okay, we just want to throw in the towel. We want to be done with it. But it do wear you down. You wake up sometimes and you just feel this heaviness. You feel this weight on you. You feel like the whole world is depending on you. You feel like your family is depending on you. You feel like your job is depending on you. You feel like your community is depending on you. You feel like God is even depending on you. And you have this heaviness that sometimes, Pastor Mac, it wears us down. But Bible way, I came to preach to somebody on this Sunday morning and tell you this, and listen to me clearly. Just because you are in the middle does not mean God is missing. Oh, who am I preaching to? I said, just because you are in the middle of your job, just because you're in the middle of a diagnosis, just because you're in the middle of a relationship, just because you're in the middle of trials and tribulation, just because you are in the middle does not mean God is missing. For the Bible tells us there's a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham was promised a son. He was promised a son, him and his wife, at his older age. He was, some theologians believe, he was 100 plus, and his wife was about 90. And God made them a promise. He said that I'm going to give you a son, and I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand in the seashore. But then God turned to Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I need that promise back. Ooh, thank you, Holy Ghost. What kind of attitude you gonna have when God says, what I promise you, I need you to give it back? God told Abraham to take him to the mountain and sacrifice that promise. But we gotta have an attitude like Abraham have while we are in the middle. As Abraham was traveling up the mountain road, as he was looking at his promise, I'm sure Abraham had doubt. I'm sure he was questioning God in his mind. But then Abraham had to remind himself that I'm gonna be grateful in the middle. And he looked at his son and he told his son, when his son said, Father, where are we going? And he just said, son, the Lord will provide. Oh, you'll catch that in the parking lot. I said, as you go through what you're going through, just remember that God will provide. God will make a way out of no way. God will fix your family. God will fix your finances. God will fix your community. God will heal your body. God will do something for you only that God can do for you. I just need about 10 praisers that know that I'm going to be grateful in the middle, because my God has never let me down. My God has never turned his back on me. My God has a track record of always doing what he said he would do. My God has promised me that he will never leave me or forsake me, that he will always be a present help in the time of trouble. I just need some worshipers to wave your hand and say, thank you, Lord. I'm grateful in the middle of it all. I'm grateful in my trials. I'm grateful in my mess, because it could have been another way. It should have been another way. But God, but God, but God, but God. I should have been at Alvin S. Glenn, but God. I should have been on Bull Street. I know Bull Street gone, but I'm going to still use the reference. But God, because God is with us. Another biblical example is a man by the name of Job. Job had one of the most powerful testimonies in all of Scripture, Pastor Lawson. Job, the Bible said, did nothing wrong. Job didn't cheat. Job didn't steal. Job was a churchgoer. He went to church every Sunday. He read his Bible every day. The Bible said he was blameless. And then, as a meeting was going on in the heavens, there are heavenly meetings about you. If there are heavenly meetings about Job, I guarantee it's heavenly meetings about you. The devil came and they said, where have you been? You know, to and fro, you know, looking for whoever I can deceive and devour, whatever he was doing. You know, the devil be up to all type of stuff. And then God says, have you considered, but don't miss this word, my servant. See, the reason God ain't considered you, because you ain't his servant. He said, have you considered my servant Job? God knew at the end that the devil was going to take all these things, took his children, took his health, took his money. But Job said these very iconic words. He said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. I just need some trusting people that know that even when you can't trace them, Lord, I can trust you. I lean not to my own understanding. I acknowledge you in all thy ways, because you will direct my path. I trust in the Lord. I don't know what's going on with my kids, but I trust the Lord. I got a daughter that want to go to University of Miami, Pastor Mac. Lord, I trust you. That's 10 hours away, Grandma. What we gonna do? God said, Twan, you gotta trust me. I got a son who is dealing with autism awareness month. And then, you know, he get episodes and stuff. But God had to remind me, just because he's in the middle, who am I preaching to? Don't mean that's his destination. He is just going through the middle right now. Twan, are you gonna trust me? That's why I put the mic in his hand. Because I trust God that one day he gonna stand behind this sacred pulpit, Deacon Glover, because you always affirm him. Deacon Glover, every time he see him, he said, that's my mighty man of God. When you see your children, you need to affirm them. You need to not ridicule them. Don't talk bad about them. Don't say you ain't gonna never be nothing. You're gonna be like your daddy, your mammy, your auntie, your whoever. No, you need to tell them you're gonna be like Jesus. You're gonna be like David. You're gonna be like Job, that say, though you slay me, I'm gonna be grateful in the middle. Amen. Because Paul says it like this. In Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 17th verse, the 2nd Corinthians, excuse me, the 4th chapter, the 17th verse, Paul says it like this. This is the New Living Translation. In this translation, Paul speaking to the church of Corinth, Pastor David, he says this. He says, for our present troubles are small. Ooh, somebody catch that in the parking lot. Let me put it in the Antoine Message Bible. Our middle troubles are small. What you're going through right now, yes, it's small compared to what Paul is. And then he says, and it won't last very long. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Woo. Yeah, I know that bank account on negative right now, but wait the next week. Woo. I ain't talking about no tax return. I'm talking about the return from Jesus Christ. I know you're going through some hardship. I know the marriage is on rocks right now, but just give it a little bit more time. Just pray a little bit longer. Just stay in the word a little bit harder. Just trust God a little bit more. Because Paul said, troubles are small and won't last very long. But I like this next clause. He said, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them, and the glory will last forever. Forever? Forever, ever? So why are you tripping about the past? Why are you tripping about all these things? Didn't God say you're the head and not the tail? Why are you chasing tails? If you are the head, you need to stop running around tails. If you are above, why are you acting like you beneath? If you are the Bible says you won't always be a borrower, but you'll be a lender. You need to lend to God first. Now, I'm not your pastor. I'm not going to go there. Because the Bible says that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out what? That you won't have. Oh, somebody better make some room. Oh, I'm prophetically speaking to somebody in this house. You need to clean out some of that junk. Because you about to get your miracle. You about to get something big in this next season. You about to get something that only God can do. By the way, I came to encourage you to remember this, that sometimes the reason it is taking longer is because God is doing a deeper work in your life. You say, but Twan, I've been doing this for a while. I've been in this wilderness state for a while, but that's because God is perfecting your miracle. God is perfecting your outcome. God is doing something that only God can do. And once God do it, they not going to give no credit to nobody but God. They ain't going to say the government did it. They not going to say Bible Way did it. They not going to say Pastor Jackson did it. They not going to say your husband or your wife did it. Not your mama or daddy did it. Not your sister or brother did it. When they see you come out of the mess that you came out of, they going to be like, God did that. God did that. But it wasn't Daryl Jackson that saved me from a life of crime. But it wasn't Pastor Willie Mae Jackson that saved me from selling crack to my own neighborhood. But it wasn't Mother Janie Jackson and Bishop A.C. Jackson that got me off the addiction of marijuana. But it was God that did that. But it was God that redeemed me. But it was God that cleansed me. But it was God that saved me. And that's why I'm grateful in the middle. I might don't have it now. I might don't have all the things I want now. Baby, if you're listening, we might can't go on vacation right now, Ms. Vern, but I'm grateful in the middle. We might can't get all the latest and greatest things, but guess what? I'm grateful in the middle. My son might be going through what he's going through, but I'm grateful in the middle. My daughter might be going off to college, but I'm grateful in the middle. How many grateful people I have in the house? Now, don't fool me now. I just need some grateful people to give God your best praise on your worst days. Don't fool me now. I thought I had a sanctified church that know that they can praise God in the middle of it all. If you came to church to look all bougie, then this ain't for you. This Sunday ain't for you. I need you to worship God. Act like God delivered you from something. Act like God did something that only he can do. God, I'm grateful in the middle. Lord, I thank you for saving my life. Lord, I'm grateful for pulling me through. Lord, I'm thankful for saving my family. Lord, I'm thankful for giving me a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance, a sixth chance, a seventh chance. Oh, who am I preaching to? I should have been dead, sleeping in my grave, But God says, son, I got greater works for you. Greater works you will do. Greater works you will do. Greater works they will do. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for it all. Before you take your seat, say, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Lord knows I'm grateful. For the next few moments, I just want to take the homiletical liberty to break down this text. Pastor Mac, as I was this weekend studying and meditating, came up on a preacher on YouTube, Pastor Philip Anthony from 2819. Great guy. Yeah, I love him. That's my digital pastor, y'all. But he said this thing that really, Elder Freeze, it stuck with me. He said, shouting and getting, you know, all emotional for God is good, but we have to teach the word of God. So can I teach you just a little something here? I'm not going to be that long. Just the next 10 minutes, I just want to go through verse 4. If you got your Bibles, all my Bible scholars, if you want to take pictures or wherever we have notes on the board, let's look what David says in verse 4, and then we're going to highlight 4 key truths from this one verse. All right, look what verse 4 says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, and he's referring to God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Key truth number one. Key truth number one. The valley is unavoidable. Can I teach to you today? The valley is unavoidable. See, you trying to avoid some things, and God saying, the valley is unavoidable. The valley you must go through. You have to go through because God is doing something in the valley. Look what David said. David does not say, if I go through the valley. He says, though I go through the valley. Though in this context means even when. It's not a matter of if, by the way, it's a matter of when. It's not a matter of if, because the Bible says a man that is born of a woman is a few days full of trouble. So it don't matter how sanctified you are. It don't matter how many degrees you have on your wall. It don't matter how much money you have in your bank account. It don't matter how many big houses you live in. It don't matter how many fancy cars you drive. It's only a matter of when you're going to go through the valley. But by the way, hear me and hear me carefully, because this is important. Valleys are not optional in our life journey. They are unavoidable. The valley represents seasons of uncertainty, represents seasons of grief. The valley can represent seasons of pressure. The valley also is a season in the text, if we look at a text, where the shadows seem longer than the light. You ever been there? Where the shadows, where the middle seems longer than the end. Notice when David calls it, he calls it the valley of the shadow of death. He was saying shadows may be intimidating, but don't miss this, but shadows cannot harm you. Who am I preaching to? Shadows may be frightening. Shadows may be terrifying. Yeah, sometimes we look at our own shadow and we're afraid. Sometimes we look at other people's shadows and we're afraid. But I need you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, shadows can't harm you. And the devil can't too. Oh, you didn't say that bold enough. I said, shadows can't harm you, and the devil can't too. Because once he hung his head on Friday, and then it says Sunday, he rose with all power in his hand. Look what the text said. It says he rose with all. It is so he rose with a power, or that day power. He rose with all power in his hand. That means he has a power over it all. And since we're his brides, we do too. Because in the Bible, I read it says, when you become married, two become one, right, Pastor Lawson? And since we are married Jesus is married to the church, and we are the church. The church is not a building, it is the people of God. That means every authority he have, I have too. So every authority to speak to demons, I can speak to them too. Everything you can bound, I can bound here too. For he says, I have given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. That whatever you bound here on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose here in heaven. Shadows are intimidating, but they cannot defeat you. All right? Shadows are real, but the shadow is just a shadow. That's all it is. Stop making shadows bigger than your God. Truth number two. The valley, and this blessed me right here. The valley is temporary. Woo! Somebody caught it. Somebody understood it. The valley is temporary. The valley is a place not meant for you to stay at. The valley is a place that is not meant for you to pitch your tent at. Some of you all are pitching tents, building houses, putting down your mats. You getting way too comfortable in your valley. And that's why you stop coming to church, online audience. You got way too, come on, I'm bedside Baptist. What? That's the most, forgive me, Lord. Bedside Baptist? No, you are comfortable in the valley. But see, if you want to get out of the valley, you got to do what David said. David said, I simply start walking through the valley. David didn't say, I ran through the valley. David didn't say, I sprinted through the valley. Some of y'all trying to run through the valley and you get too tired. Maybe you need to stop running and start walking. And as you're walking, begin to walk and speak life over yourself. By his stripes, I'm already healed. Stop getting comfortable in the valley. That's why you can't get over what you're getting over. That's why every Sunday you at this altar praying for the same thing that you're trying to get over. God said, I heard your prayer 3 years ago. I heard your prayer about your children 2 years ago. I heard your prayer about your husband and your wife a year ago. Leave it alone. Begin to walk. Begin to trust me, because the valley is temporary. It's not meant to be permanent. Yeah, I know it hurt. I know it's hard. I'm here with you. I know what you're doing. I know what's going on. I know what that person is doing to you. But the valley is temporary. Truth number three. The valley is personal. Whew. Boy, when you in the valley, it get real. See, on the mountaintop, that's when, you know, everybody pat you on the back, come over to your crib. Everybody, you know, giving you all your flowers, rightfully so. But when you're in the valley and nobody around, nobody calling you, nobody checking on you, nobody coming to see about you, nobody concerned about your well-being, but you're in the valley. But guess what? Who's in the valley with you? Because it's just got personal. Yeah, you was with me on the mountaintop, but can you be with me in the valley? And guess what? I don't even need you in the valley with me, because David said, for you are with me. Notice how the psalm shifted for David. Early in the psalm, David said, he leads me, he restores me, he do all these things for me. But in the valley, David went from what God can do for you to what God I need from you. Or what God is to you to what God I need from you. The valley is personal. When life is comfortable, by the way, we talk about God. When life gets heavy, we talk to God. Amen. Hey, when things going good, man, God is such a good God. But God, big, I know my cousin John Lakin say, big mighty God did it again. All right, but when it gets
personal. We talk to God. That's when you got to develop a prayer life, that you got to shut off ESPN, that you got to shut off Atlanta Housewives, that you got to shut off Netflix, that you got to shut off Hulu, you got to shut off Disney Plus, whatever you watch, I don't know, YouTube, and then it just got to be you and God, and you got to get on your knees, and you got to pray and stay right there and say, God, I know you with me right now, but I need you to give me some encouragement. Give me some motivation. Give me some wisdom how to navigate in this valley, because this valley is beginning to wear me down. But at the end of the day, you need to be like Jesus before Jesus went on that cross. Jesus said, not my will, but let thy will be done. God, I don't want to give up my ghost for these people who not going to even worship me in 2026. I don't want to give up my life for people who are going to mock me and talk bad about me. But then he realized, I got a greater purpose than right now, than the middle. I got a greater purpose than what I'm going through right now. He said, not my will, but let thy will be done. Look at your neighbor and say, the valley is personal. Truth number four, and this gonna bless you, because it blessed me as our family is well documented, was going through things with our auntie and going through just different things with our cousin Jimmy passed and all these different things that was hitting us. But then God had to remind me. He said, the valley produces confidence. Not that we lacked faith, but sometimes God got to remind us of our faith. It wasn't that our family lacked faith. We believe. But sometimes God has to remind you that I am still with you. And look what David said. David went from talking about, again, David went, you lead me by the still waters and all these different things. Then he said, I will fear no evil. David had confidence. Notice something powerful. The valley never disappeared. The fear did. Hey, the cancer still may be there, but guess what? Your faith never left. The troubles are still going on in your home, but your faith can never waver, because the valley is going to be there. But the fear should not be there, because Paul says it like this. He said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and a sound mind. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost, for a sound mind. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for keeping me my mind straight while I'm in this valley. Because Lord, no, I should have lost my mind a long time ago. After all the heartache, all the arrows in my back, all the talked about you, people talked about me, all the plotting against me, plotting on my demise, I should have been dead, sleeping in my grave. But I'm going to be grateful in the middle, because God is with me. The valley produces confidence. Just remember, as we walk through the valley, gratitude in the middle does not remove the valley. It removes the panic. It removes the worry. It removes the doubt. This is for all those who deal with anxiety. Anxiety is real, y'all. The church need to always recognize that mental health is real. Yes, Jesus is real, but so is mental health. But also, for all those who deal with mental health, don't ever let that be bigger than your God. Remember, your God is bigger than that. Your God can help you overcome that. If it take therapy, it take therapy. If it take prayer, it take prayer. If it take laying at this altar where you say, Pastor, just leave me here. If I gotta shut down the church and you just lock me in, then that's what it takes. But don't ever let the valley be bigger than our God. As you stand to your feet, as we prepare to close, I love that David didn't end
that scripture, that passage with verse 4. But he went on and said these very iconic words in verse 5 and 6. So we know what David says in verse 4. Let's put verse 4 over there because we're going to read it all together. Then we're going to read 5 and 6. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now look at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of who? Oh, you wonder why your enemy's there. He said, who? You prepare. Who prepared it? See, you complaining about your enemies when God put your enemies there. He put your enemies there to keep you on your knees. He put your enemies there to keep you in church. He did that so you can know that you have the power to overcome these things. He said, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Somebody's cup is about to run over. I'm speaking blessings that is running over. You ever seen a cup run over and it spills everywhere and it goes everywhere? Liquid goes everywhere. Sometimes liquid go places that you don't even want. You ever had it spilled in your couch? You're like, God, I didn't even know that was down there. God is about to bless you in places you didn't even know that was there. God is about to make a way for things you didn't even know he can make a way for, because your cup is running over. Your cup is about to run over. And this is why I shout in the moment right here. Verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy. I said, surely. Can I put my Baptist voice on, Taylor Fairwell? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all, not yesterday, not today, not tomorrow, but all my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now give God your best praise for your surely goodness and mercy that he has bestowed upon you. And we are grateful in the middle that all the days of our life we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Don't fool me now. As the praise team come, come on, give God your best praise. Come on, give God your best praise. We're about to do the altar call now. Surely, goodness and mercy. Surely, goodness and mercy. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. If it's following you, it's following your family. If it's following you, it's following your church. Your Holy Ghost shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever, forever. Look at your neighbor and say, forever, forever. Grateful in the middle, grateful in the middle. Come on now. Act like you got some gratefulness in you. God has been too good to you to sit on your praise. God has been too good to you to act like God has not done it for you over and over and over. Over and over again. Grateful in the middle. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You got my permission to act undignified when you think about the goodness and all that he's done for you. My very soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Woo! Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. You didn't have to save me, but you did it anyway. You didn't have to save my family, but you did it anyway. You didn't have to save my auntie, but you did it anyway. Oh. You, Jesus. Woo! I'm grateful in the middle. I'm grateful in the middle. You got 30 seconds.
Where Regina at?
Regina went across the street.
I don't know that song that Pastor do. When I think about the goodness and all he's done for me, when I think about the goodness and how he went, y'all can do that. Regina not here. We can do it. Now, I'm not pastor. You know, he's the master at that. But I feel a praise. I feel a praise coming. I think about the goodness and how he set me free. How I should have been dead, sleeping in my grave. When I think about the goodness and how he delivered me, then I can dance, dance, dance all night. Come on, let's praise God real quick. Good to us. God has been great to us. And if you know that God has been good to you, I just need you to holler and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, as we prepare for this sacred moment, yes, Holy Spirit, we hear you. But we don't want to not miss this moment. There's a song by Fashawn Mitchell that says, it's turning around for me. Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Cast down, but not destroyed. There are times I don't understand. Do I have any witnesses? Why me, Lord? Why cancer is in my body? Why you took my mama? Why you took my father? Why you took my husband? Why you took my life? I didn't do anything to deserve this. I have had struggles and disappointments. There were times I felt so alone. Some of my friends, they let me down. But guess what? But I still believe that he's turning it around for me. He's turning it around for me. As you come to this altar, I just need some people who are grateful for the middle. I need some grateful people that know that it's not the beginning and it's not the end. But I'm in the middle. As Elder McFadden sing this song, and if you might be praying for your loved one, you might know somebody in your family that is going through the middle challenges. Come to this altar, let us pray for them. Let us seal this with this sacred moment. The altar represents when our humanity meets divinity. That's what the altar represents. It represents a moment where we tell God, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Flaws and all. Shortcomings and all. An imperfect creature that's serving a perfect God. Come on, praise
team. Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Cast down, but not destroyed. There are times I don't understand.
Is that your testimony?
But I believe it's turning around for me.
Woo. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Sing that again, McFadden. Let's go back.
Sometimes discouraged.
Yes. Yes, Jesus.
But not defeated, cast down, but I'm not destroyed. There are times I don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. See, I've had struggles and disappointments. There are times I felt so alone.
Is that your testimony?
And some of my friends, they let me down.
Yes, Jesus.
But I still believe it's turning around for me.
Yes, Jesus.
Around for me. Around for me. Around for me. It's turning around for me. Can you help me say? Around for me.
Around for me.
It's turning around. So here's the good news right here. Thank you, Jesus. And it won't always be like this. He will perfect that concerning me. And sooner or later, it'll turn in my favor. It's turning around for me. Come on, can you help me say it won't always.
It won't always be like this.
Say the Lord will perfect it.
The Lord will perfect that concerning me.
And sooner. It's gotta turn in my say sooner or later. It's gotta turn in my
favor.
It's turning around for me.
Now, in fact, can we sing that sooner or later? Cause I feel that.
And sooner or later, it'll turn in my favor.
Yes, Jesus.
Say sooner. It's gotta turn in my.
It gotta do it.
Say sooner. It's gotta
turn in my.
Say sooner or later. It's gotta
turn in my.
Turning around for me.
This is the one thing I know about God. God don't play about his own. Oh, let me say that again. God don't play about his own. And I know this. God, just like with Job, he allowed Job to be tested. He allowed Job to go through the things he went through, lost everything. He allowed David to go through the valley. But guess what God did for David and Job? He restored them. He turned it around in their favor. And me and Elder Jonathan was talking about this as I was prepared to come up. We said, the reason why God blessed those people in the end, it's because they was grateful in the process. They didn't give up in the middle. Rather, they kept trugging, kept going. And the Bible said, once Job prayed for them same friends that told him he was nothing, he was worthless, that he should just curse God and die, the Bible said he gave Job double for his trouble. Sooner or later, come on, Dr. McFadden, give me say sooner or later.
Say sooner or later, say sooner
or later.
It's gotta turn
in my face.
Say sooner or later. my oh, oh, it is turning around for me.
Now, as you close your eyes, those who are at this altar, and those who may not be at this altar, but you feel the tug. You feel the Holy Spirit is nudging on you, and you're telling yourself, well, I got time. I can do it next Sunday, or I can do it next year, or I need to get my stuff together. I need to quit smoking weed before I give my life to Christ. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. God says, let me quit it for you. You don't have to do that. I can do the hard things for you. I just need you to dedicate yourself right now. So there's a QR code that you can scan, that QR code. And those who are here, that's under the sound of my voice, don't leave this sanctuary without the proper relationship with God. I said it and I mean it. God don't play about his own. But God also is a jealous God. God doesn't share the spotlight with anybody. God says, I want to.
You have been listening to the worship service of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off Interstate 77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services here on the radio. We are also streaming live on our website at bwcar.org, on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you missed any of our services or want to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for a CD or DVD of today's sermon titled Grateful in the Middle, please call us at 803-776-1238. Reference sermon number 04-1226. Again, that telephone number is 803-776-1238. Sermon number 04-1226. Friday, April 24th at 7 p.m. in the Youth Development Center, all college students are invited to join the Young Adult Ministry for Study Break College Worship Night. This is a space to step away from the stress of classes, deadlines, pressures, and refocus your heart on God. Join us for a powerful night of worship, prayer, and community designed just for college students. Friday, April 24th, 7 p.m. in the Youth Development Center. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by clicking the link on our website at bwcar.org. Or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to the number 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina, 29290. Please do not mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. We thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.